Dave is with us via video link up. If you're streaming our show on YouTube or Facebook at WCCO Radio, how's it going, Dave?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I am outstanding. Outstanding. We are about an hour away from Minnesota Lynx against Golden State at Target Center tonight. And I was wondering if wannabe WNBA rookie Royce White would be at the game tonight. But, you know, was he going to wear the wig and do the whole bit? Since Enes Kanter Freedom was kicked out of a WNBA game, was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it was yesterday.
I will say, like, I am sick of these goobers using the WNBA as just their sort of backdrop and their set for whatever political issue they want to make. I don't know what the WNBA it's one thing if the players or the league wants to make their game the backdrop for their issues. But the fact that it's being used by so many losers who don't care about the league at all, who don't care about the game, who don't care about the players, is frustrating. It's frustrating for me.
And this is where we are in sports today. And it's where we've gotten to a point where, ironically, our athletes, as good as better as they ever have been, they're incredible in all these sports. And oftentimes the actual product on the court is secondary to what goes on around it. Politics has become a really big part of sports, good or bad.
Yeah.
And it's happened. This is just the latest, Jason. It's happened in a lot of different sports. If you think back to, you know, kneeling for the national anthem or refusing to stand and so on and so forth.
But usually it's the players who start the conversation. It's the players who use their own league as their vehicle for getting out a message.
Yeah.
Here what's happening is it's all these other people who are basically using the WNBA as just like a punching bag for whatever their issue is.
And to me, the biggest issue is that we're not talking about how great the Lynx have been playing this year. We're not talking about Olivia Miles, who should be.
Well, we are, but yeah, for sure.
And we will, but the A1 topic is this.
Fair. That's fair.
And so this is what we end up spending our time on, is Enes Kanter and Royce White thinking and trying to challenge the WNBA and their ruling, which.
And today, you know, just today, for people who haven't heard, today, late this afternoon, the WNBA deemed them ineligible for the 2027 WNBA draft. Despite them claiming they were identified. I mean, obviously, the whole thing is a stunt. They're just trying to make a point. I'm 50-50 on whether we see Royce White in a wig at the game tonight.
What's really interesting here is that the collective bargaining agreement that the WNBA has says you must be a woman to play in the WNBA. To me, from a public relations standpoint, the easy out is that both of these guys at one point were in the NBA, you know, I mean, and you probably, you know, making that crossover is where it would be an easy place to draw the line.
Yeah.
But instead,
so you could get around it by just saying, like, oh, if you've ever played in the NBA, you're out.
Yeah, you could. I mean, if you've ever done that, then, you know, you can't play in the WNBA.
Smart.
But this is becoming a big issue.
Dave Schwartz with us. Obviously, the Lynx, I mean, what a run.
Yeah.
You look at this season, and obviously, like, you know, you still got to produce in the playoffs, and everybody's coming at you. As we know with the NBA, like, playoff basketball can be a different deal than regular season. But having a rookie be as dominant as Olivia Miles has been, what a thrill. Like, what a lucky thing to be able to witness.
It is really interesting because we don't often have the scenario where a rookie is making a genuinely strong case for MVP, not just rookie of the year. I mean, she'll run away with rookie of the year. Yeah. You could really make a good case that her, Asia Wilson, maybe Caitlin Clark are all have just as much of a chance to make become MVP. And this is a rookie who has dominated and continually played well against all of these players. And so It's a really fun thing to watch. It's been a really fun team to watch this year. And I just, what makes good teams great is that they have that other gear when you hit the postseason. And as good as the Lynx have been, and they've been dominant, it still feels like there's some more here, that's because of the depth, but there's still more that they could go to. And thinking about that as the opposition, that's a little scary.
The Vikings had, I don't know, you never know what you can read into a preseason game other than they didn't look good. 13-3 was the final score against Baltimore. I, Dave, am embarrassed to admit that I probably watched 2.5 quarters of preseason Minnesota Vikings football on this weekend, which I feel like I'm a little embarrassed to admit it. What happened to me? Why did I have nothing better going on that I was just sucked in as a Vikings fan?
The number one reason that I watch preseason football is
Ben Lieber. It's Ben Lieber.
Football.
He's so handsome.
Yes, and Ben Lieber, of course. I mean, he's devastatingly handsome.
It's disgusting. It's offensive.
But it's fantasy football because you get your number one and number two, but there's always a rookie. Like, I got to really hit on my RB5 at some point in the season. So I got to find him in a preseason, Broncos Seahawks game somewhere to try to get that guy.
Yeah.
So only reason preseason matters to me, other than at this point, just to see how much farther down this J.J. McCarthy train is going to spiral.
Well, he was banged up. He was banged up a little bit. He was 5 for 10. He did the J.J. thing. He threw one long pass that was enough to make you tingle. And you're like, maybe he's got it. And then just seemed to struggle on some like run-of-the-mill type plays. What do you think happens to J.J.? I mean, he's got to be the number three guy, right?
I think he is. I just don't know because Kyler has had injury troubles, right? And there's probably over the last 3 years, he's missed games each time. So there is going to be a point in this season, and I don't think it's an if, it's a when they're going to have to go to their second quarterback to win a game. And who do you want that to be at this point from what you've seen? Do you want it to be J.J. McCarthy, who throws one really good play but then misses a wide-open touchdown because he overthrows a guy? Or do you want Carson Wentz, who can efficiently run the offense, hit the guys that he needs to, and just play really well behind, what has been a really good offensive line? So, and I think the answer is pretty easy. It's Carson Wentz. Now, you still keep J.J. because – how many times in the past couple of years have the Vikings gone down to quarterback?
What's the other option? Happen. Like, realistically, could they cut him? You could trade him,
I think they'd still have to be on the hook for his salary if they cut him. So I don't know that that's the right thing. And frankly, you can't trade him at this point. His trade value is so low. I don't even think you could get a bag of footballs back that are inflated for him at this point.
True.
There's nothing. But the interesting thing here, and I keep going back to this, is J.J. McCarthy was not the quarterback of this administration, right? Mm-hmm. This was Kwesi Adofo-Mensah's guy.
Yep.
He's the one that said, we got to make this. We got to get this guy, and he's shown it to us. So not only is he getting his lunch handed to him on the field, he probably doesn't feel a whole lot of acceptance and excitement around him when he comes off the field, because he was not the guy that they wanted. At least it doesn't seem like it. He was the guy that someone else wanted, I should say.
It's pretty interesting. And just the psychology of, like, if he gets a shot, like, where's his head going to be? Like, you were the guy and now you're the backup. Maybe you make him number two on the depth chart, but when push comes to shove, you bring in the other guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know in the NFL how that works. I don't think you have to bring in the two. You could always go to the three. But it is, I'll say this for J.J. McCarthy, and Sam Darnold is a great example of this. You can still have success in the NFL if you wash out somewhere. And J.J. McCarthy, it might just be a conversation of, listen, man, we do think that you got talent, but it's just not happening here in this city with this crew. You need to go somewhere else and get a fresh start. And maybe that's what happens, and he ends up being great. And then everyone in Minnesota will, you know, jump off the right. roof because
Classic.
We should have had him.
Just
you know?
Another one of us who goes
another
on.
One of guys we love.
Oh, we yeah. love that, don't we? We love
yes, we do.
Yes, indeed. Stand by. Dave Schwartz with us. We got to talk Twins. Man, I don't this club. Oh, my goodness. The Twins. We'll talk about it with Dave in just a minute.
Is this for the end of the show or is this for...
It might be for the end of the season. I
that's what I was.
Yeah,
I tried. Okay, it was a swing and a miss.
That's very good.
There you go. Josh, no, I think it was a home run.
Josh Wheeler filling in for Dan today. Very nice.
One of the few home runs you've hit, Wheeler. I got to be honest. I mean, you're usually a bunt single kind of guy. Yeah. I'm impressed.
There it is. Okay.
Thank you very much.
See, I mean, that's what you're talking about. The delay in getting to the rim shot.
Right. Right.
The Twins were swept, then they sweep, then they were swept again. No offense, sort of starting pitching good, closing. Well, there's nothing to close when you lose 8-1. But the middle innings really have been a real issue in defense. There have been a lot of like sort of bobbles and just it's been tough, Dave.
When you leave men on base, it is hard to win games.
Wow. And I mean, I'm going to write that down. That is good.
This year, I know. Yeah. I know. I'm a great great baseball manager here. It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. But this is an issue. Now, it's not just this year. I feel like we talk about this every year. But it really has been an issue. And when you can't get the offense that you need, you know, like I think about the teams in – 2010, 2011, like they were manufacturing runs.
Yep.
They were getting on base, working their way around, and that's how they won games. They're just not getting that. They're not getting off the base path for whether it's because of a poor eye at the plate, poor hitting selection. It's just, but they cannot get these guys around.
I mean,
and
four.
That's the biggest issue.
Half of their runs, four of their eight runs were solo homers. I mean, it's just like, that is brutal. And then Buxton, since he's come back from injury, no rehab assignment, he just doesn't look like himself behind the plate, so he struggled. It's just been a tough go. The question is, I mean, when we started this stretch against the Padres, we were talking about the potential of winning the division. Now, you know, after three losses, now the Twins are... I mean, they're not out of it because no one seems to be grabbing it in the American League, but they're 5.5 games behind the White Sox in the division. They're two games back in the, what, six-team race for the final wild card.
Yeah.
So it's just,
only,
it gets
tough. 5 weeks left of the season.
That's right.
It's just, they're not getting, you got to go on a streak at some point, and it's just not happening. I mean, that you can't, you said it, you can't sweep one series and then get run out of the park the next without, any sort of improvement, and it just doesn't seem like they have the answers.
Kind of interesting. It has been interesting, like looking at the Padres, another small market team that has had an owner that went all in and just spent a ton of money. And it was interesting reading, I think it was in The Athletic, where Tom Polab was saying, this is sort of what we have to do. Like he said that he's acknowledged, even the way he was talking about things at the beginning of his stint as the lead owner was wrong. That originally he thought you got to grow the business so you can support the team. And now he says, no, you got to do what the Padres did, which is spend up front and then the people will come.
I mean, that's it, right? The one thing that brings people into arenas, regardless of the sport, is the one thing you cannot control. And that is game outcome. However, you have got to win games and have exciting players who can provide things for you to get them in there. I'll tell you this. The one thing that really interests me in the last 5 weeks of the season is if we see Walker Jenkins, because he's absolutely crushing right now in St. Paul. And I want to see that guy play. That would get me to go to the ballpark right now for sure.
Dave, we're going to see you at the State Fair.
I cannot wait. Are you bringing the snacks this time? Every week it says you bring the snacks.
It does say I bring this. I'll bring the snacks. I can go to the Minneapolis club up the street, have them load up a bucket full of stuff for me, And then that's what you want at the fair. Right?
Now you're talking.
Now I'm talking. Thanks, Dave.
I'll be there.
All right.
See you.
We'll see you there. Josh, thank you.
Thank you.
Dan will be back with us tomorrow. Henry Lake's going to take you up to Twins pregame, 8 p.m. pregame with the Twins in Sacramento to play the Athletics. First pitch at 8:40 here on CCO.